Welcome. Gosh, I'm glad that you're here. Glad that you are a part of the River Church today. Glad that you are hanging out with us today. Daniel, it's good to see you after neck surgery and all that stuff. Glad you're here, man. Praise God. Yes. Yeah, this is an answer to so many prayers, so I'm so grateful. This is like homecoming. Every Sunday, seeing some of y'all's faces that haven't been here in a long time or are mission partners, and you know, I'm even seeing Nate and Aaron back there too, so I was just really glad to see you guys too. I don't know, this time of the year, I get all warm and fuzzy with Christmas and all the stuff that's happening and the lights and the tinkle and the lights going out on the tree and, you know, or the wreath. I mean, it's all sorts of fun stuff. That is the worst when you miss that one light and you're like, ah. So anyway, but Christmas has hit the Palmer House and we're super stoked about that. It especially became Christmas for us when it got cold out and the snow's happening. We're like, finally, it is Christmas time. And we just love this season. And part of the reason for this season, obviously the big reason for this season, is really found in Matthew 1:23, which is the verse that we've been kind of anchoring this whole series on. And that is, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. That's what this whole series has been about. That's what we are just reflecting on in this Christmas time. Yes, there is gifts. Yes, there is presents. Yes, there is peppermint mochas and all sorts of great food and sugar like coming out all over the place. And I'm just excited for the pies later on and all the goods, you know? But I'll tell you, the reason for this time is Emmanuel. And so we focus on Emmanuel. We focus on God with us. We focus on this season where we know that Jesus came to be with us, to dwell among us. And in this series, we've been talking about different seasons in which we can still experience Emmanuel, even though it's not necessarily Christmas. You know, we talked about just enjoying God on the mountaintops, right? And how there's so much just, you're like, yeah, God is good all the time. He is great. I'm just happy. I'm at the mountaintop. It's all good and happy. And then we go down into the valley, and that's where we get to know God. Amen. And we really get to experience who he is and his character. And so when we go through times like the wilderness, when we're in the valley, we really get to have those times where we may be navigating hardships or struggles, but it's the confusing times. It's the times where we may feel like we're really separated from God. But God is actually closer than ever. So close, in fact, that he's whispering, saying, I'll never leave you. I'm here right next to you in the wilderness. Today, I'm looking forward to sharing with you another aspect, another area where God is with us, even though we may not sense him at times, is that God is with us in the storms. Now, these storms are happening in the valley, right? These storms can happen at any point. They hit you fast. They hit you hard. They knock you all over the place. It's a confusing season. It's a hard season when we hit in the storms. And storms, when I start to look at storms in our culture and things, I found it really unique in one area, one weird random thing that we do in our culture with storms. And I don't know if you've really thought about this before, but it's weird that we name storms. I mean, think about that. We name storm like Irene or Agnes, or we name storms Katrina. We name these storms, and actually, doing a little history check here, in 1954, they started to name the storms. The meteorologists in the U.S. started to name the storms in 1954, and you know where they picked up the names from? These guys named these storms after their wives and their girlfriends. Can you imagine? Hey, babe, so there's this Category 5 coming on into Florida. It's going to devastate everything, wipe everything out. I thought about naming it Jill. Are you kidding? That went well. For 25 years, they were doing this, but back in 1979, they actually started to have equal rights for storms, and so they started naming them after men as well. So Hurricane Harvey and all those types of things started to came up. But what's interesting, though, is that, it'd be weird to me, but I think that it could happen. We could probably start to name like the random events, the random storms, the random issues that we might have in our life. You know, like, you know, somebody coming up to you and say, "Man, I missed you yesterday." And it's like, "Yeah, man, I was hit hard by Diarrhea Darla. It just wrecked me." Some of you guys are going, "That's really gross, Mark. That we're in church. Come on. Don't talk like that." But we could name stuff. And in fact, I think that we do name the storms in our lives. They've got names like divorce, right? Or names like depression. Names like addiction or cancer. Names like betrayal. There are names that we have for these storms in our lives where we just, they may hit all of a sudden, or these things might we feel like we're under attack. We feel like we're just in this confusing time, these confusing and hard seasons of life. And in these moments, in these storms, it'd be easy to go, "God, where are you? Why aren't you here? Don't you see the pain, the hurt, the issue, the struggle that I'm in? Why, God, are you allowing this to happen to me in my life? Why don't you do something about it?" Well, if you've got your notebooks today, I want you to write this down. And it is also on the app, in the notes on the app. And you can just reflect on this. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. God is there. Even though you may not know or feel or realize that he is in the midst of the storm, don't doubt in the midst of a storm the presence of God. God is with us. He's whispering to us, right? We may be going through a hard moment. Seeing how God is with us may be difficult. But through the course of our message today, I hope that you can grasp this idea that God is with us. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, I ask that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, we are desperate to know you. There are many of us in this room today that are engaged in a storm, that we are hard-pressed on every side, that it is confusing and it is scary, and we're not sure how we're going to get through it. But Lord, I pray that today, you will just open our hearts to allow us to know and see that you're right there, that you are true to your word, that you never leave us or forsake us. God, we love you and praise you and lift this time up in your name. Amen. Amen. So today, I want to talk to you guys about an account in Acts 27, where Paul is in a literal storm. Now, when we read about Paul's life in Acts, we can know that he's hit like a ton of different kinds of storms in his life. Storms of, you know, getting stoned, storms of being beaten, storms of being thrown in jail, and all of these different things. But in this account of Paul, he is in a literal storm, all right? In Acts 27, it talks about how he is on his way to Rome, and he is going to go meet with Caesar. And in the middle of this, there's this moment where the boat that he's on, they're going into a storm. And before they get to the storm, he's like, "You know what, you guys, we need to stay here." Paul's going, "This is the place we need to stay. Don't go further." The captain goes, "No, we're going to keep going. We got to go." So they get back in the boat, they start going, and they go in the storm day upon day upon day. They're in the throes of the storm. They are freaking out. They don't know what's going to happen. There's continual bailing happening. They're throwing stuff overboard, not people, but stuff. I mean, this is a fight for your life kind of storm that they're in the midst of. And in verse 20, it says this: "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." Gave up all hope. You know, when we talked about being in the wilderness, I had shared something about it saying, we say the words, I'm just done. I'm just done with this. And in situations like that, it might mean that we're wanting to make a change from the situation that we're in the moment. But when I'm talking about giving up hope here, there is just a sense of there's nothing else we can do. This is the end. This is all over. And when we're in the throes of the storm and we are losing hope like that, it's oftentimes we'll start to throw out these words like always and never, right? I'm always going to have this issue. I'm never going to find somebody. I'm always going to be in debt. I'm never going to have a child. I'm never going to graduate. I'm always going to be depressed. Do you hear how the language lends itself to this desperation of like nothing is going to change in my life? Well, how many of us would find it easy in the midst of a storm like this to, because we're believers, we know God, and we also know that there is an enemy that's out there to steal, kill, and destroy, right? That how many of us would look at this and start to go, you know what, this season of my life, it's really because of the devil. It's really because of the enemy in my life. This is a spiritual attack. And we can definitely think that way. We can blame everything on the devil. We can blame the storm on him because we know that in times of hardships, you know, there are seasons where the devil is really hitting hard and throwing things down. But I want to sometimes challenge you with this. Are there situations in your life where it could have been that you actually caused the storm that you're in right now? Yeah, there are those situations where maybe the storm of the debt that you're in is because of the spending that you've done. Maybe the storm of life that you're in physically is because you chose to beat your body up so much earlier on in your life. Maybe the storms are there because of situations that you have chosen to do. Maybe one of the reasons that these guys on the boat gave up hope is because they thought, you know what? We got ourselves into this mess. We got to own it. And we are going to die because of it. They were in the storm, but because of the decisions that they made. Now, in the seasons like that, in the storms like that, it's really, I think, more difficult. You have more of a feeling of hopelessness because you feel that you have put yourself in that situation. It's easier to believe that God will get you out if God allowed you in. So when you're in this season, when you're saying, you know, I did this to myself, there's really no point, there's no hope for me to get out, I want to just challenge you in your thinking on this to say maybe God has a different plan. Even though you walked into it, God can help you get out of it. Now, some of the other crew that are on the boat, some of the other people that are on the boat, they didn't have a choice. Maybe they agreed with Paul. Maybe they were riding with Paul, and they weren't on the captain's side. Maybe you're in a place today where the storm that you're in is not your fault. Maybe the storm that you're walking through today is because of somebody else's decisions. Maybe it was your boss's choice to spend the money that caused you to get fired from your job. Maybe it's somebody else's decisions on how they handle things that has placed you in this position. I want to just encourage you with something today. In either one of these places, either it's your own decision or somebody else's decision, the truth of the matter is that you are in a storm. And in either case, I want to just read to you what Paul says next in verse 22. He says, "Now I urge you to keep up your courage. Don't let it go. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Hang on. Keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost. only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Can you imagine this? I mean, think about this. If you're not a believer and you hear this, you're going, what? This is kind of weird. But if you are one of the people that are following after Paul, and hear me, in this room today, the majority of us in here believe and trust and know in the same God that Paul followed, that Paul trusted in. And we look to him for strength and encouragement and guidance. We look to the Lord in these ways. And Paul is saying, keep up your courage because none of you will be lost. He goes, an angel of the God whom I belong to and whom I serve stood beside me. An angel stood beside me. There's more stuff in this life. There's more ways than you can imagine that God is with you. He is with you in the storm. You may not know how he is working or how he is with you, but he is with you. Listen, if he is going to say it that he is not going to leave us from his word, then he's going to follow through in that. If he's not going to follow through in it, then he's not trustworthy, which means he's not holy, which means he's not God. You follow my logic here? So let's back it up. If he says he's always going to be there, then he's there. We enjoy him on the mountaintops. We know him in the valleys. We know him when he is in these struggles and through these times when we are pressing in to the Lord. We can rely and rest on him. His spirit, by the way, dwells in you always. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, something that makes me think about, when I think about this, I begin to recognize that when we are talking about the presence of God in our lives, when we rely and know and believe that God is here, that can change how we think about the situation that we're walking through. We should never let the presence of a storm cause us to doubt the presence of God. I mean, Paul talks about this in other places in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16 and 17. He goes, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. David knew this. In Psalm 16, verse 8, he says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. How do these guys who are walking through hardships not fear, not get scared, not turn and run at the first sight of danger? How is it that these guys can do this? And there is a difference in their mindset. And I want to just challenge you with this mindset. When we know and understand that we are in the midst of the presence of the Creator of all things, that can change how we choose to walk through a situation. When I was a kid, I was scared of the dark. I think I've told a number of you this already. You understand, yes, I was a chicken as a little kid. And I could not go down a dark hallway by myself. And random weird stuff. My active imagination, I thought that there were these little blue men that would pop out of the doorways, grab me, and like disappear and like send me to this void land. Okay? Scared. I know you're like, what, blue men? Whatever. But here's the thing. When I would go get my dad, and he would walk down that hall with me, I wasn't afraid. I'd walk boldly because of the one who was with me. I would not fear. I'm like, blue men? Whatever, man. I got my dad with me. And I walk down that dark hallway, no fear. And my dad's like, there's nothing to be afraid of, Mark. There's no little blue men in the hallway. I'm like, I know, Dad, because you're here with me, you know? And I'm walking down that hall. Now, today, I will walk with guys like Adrian. Adrian is a deputy in the sheriff's department. And man, when he puts on that uniform and I'm walking with him down to Sirius, Texas, I'm like, there is an authority that I'm walking with him, man. I am not afraid of anything. He's strapping, you know? And I'm like, yes! It's like there's no fear. He is carrying with him an authority And because of that authority, we are walking into any situation, and I'm not afraid. Now, he may be terrified, but I'm like, I'm with him. He's good. I think about this, too, with guys like Mike Krupa. He's the battalion chief with the fire department. I mean, here's a guy that when he's in his uniform and we're walking and we're talking, I'm just like, man, I am with the firemen. These guys are awesome. And they carry with them this authority into places. And I just, when I'm walking in that same, with their authority, I'm like, oh my gosh, there is no fear. When we walk and know the authority of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the one who is with us, who will not forsake us, that he is walking there alongside us, and he is going, come on, let's go. I've got you in the palm of my hand. You have nothing to fear. I will give you a spirit of love, power, and of sound mind. Let's go. You don't have to worry about this. Even though you know that the water's splashing and things are going on, it is something that you do not have to fear. You do not have to fear the storm when you know who's in the boat with you. In the New Testament, there's an account of the disciples or with Jesus, and they're in this boat, and the storm is raging all around them, and they're bailing the water out of the boat, and they're trying to just keep the boats afloat. And here's Jesus in the middle, and he's sleeping. Now, had they realized, I mean really realized, who was in the boat with them, do you think they would be concerned about bailing out the boats? No. They'd be like, we got the creator of all things in the boat with us. We got the one who made the water. He's here. He's hanging out with us right here. He's asleep, so I think he's got everything under control. Had they realized that, but no, they're waking up Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, we're going to die. And he goes, peace. Nothing. Silence. Stillness, peace. Who has the authority over the winds and the waves? Jesus. Who has the authority over depression, anxiety, and worry? Jesus. Who has the authority over debt and destruction? Jesus. Jesus. There's no safer place than to be with Jesus. The peace is not in the absence of the storm, but the peace is found in the presence of Jesus. To go on with Paul's account in verse 23, it says, last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. You're not going to go down with the boat. You still have things to do. And I want to just encourage you this morning to say, even in the midst of the storm that you are walking through right now, you are breathing. You are alive. God is in the midst of that. He's going, I have more for you to do. I have more for you to accomplish. There are other battles to fight. You are not done. There are more people for you to bless. There are more opportunities for you to give. There are more people for you to point to Christ. When you know whose you are, you may have a different mindset on the outcome of your storm. When you know whose you are, you may have a different mindset on the outcome. Because when you realize that you are God's kid, you can go, yeah, I'm going through this hard time. I get it. And these storms are so, so hard. So hear me. I don't want to minimize the storm. But I also want you to realize that in the fact that you are heirs, H-E-I-R, when you are his kids, there is something that you are walking into that is greater than the moment of the storm that you are in at that time. God can use you in what you learn in this storm right now to help someone through theirs later on. So you survive cancer, maybe you can help someone else fight and press through. Maybe you've overcome an unfaithfulness in your marriage and you can encourage somebody else on how to forgive. Maybe you've climbed out of debt and you can tell others how it can be done, right? Maybe you're 178 days sober and you can encourage somebody to keep fighting the fight and tell others how Christ can set them free. Keep fighting in the storm. In 25, Paul says, "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Just as he told me. You know, I think about this, is that you can't control the situation that you're in. You can't control when the storm starts or how it's going to hit or how long it's going to last. And you can't control what people do or what people think. But I want to encourage you this morning that you can control who you listen to. Are you going to listen to the winds and the waves and the water like Peter, who was walking on the water and began to sink because of what was around him? Or are you going to listen to the one who is saving you in front of you, who says, "I will never leave you," who says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Peter focused on the outside and began to sink, called out to Jesus. And I love that it uses the word immediately. Jesus picked him up. Immediately. You can control what you say, and you can control where you place your faith. This morning, I want to invite the worship team to come back up, and I want to just close this time with this verse, these verses from Psalms. Psalm 46, verse 1 says this: "God is our shelter and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and the mountains fall into the ocean depths, even if the seas roar and rage and the hills are shaken by violence." God is our shelter. God is our strength. God is the one who we can hold on to that will sustain us. God is the one that walks before us and the one who walks behind us and beside us. God is the one who whispers to us and says, "I will not let you drown. Hold on to the hope. I love you. I'm with you." Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. God is who you need. He is your safety. He is your strength. He's your comforter. He's your source, your redeemer. God is your sustainer, your provider. He is your assurance. And he is your savior. We have opportunity like Paul. Paul had relationship with God because of what Christ did. We have relationship because of what Christ did. Yes, Emmanuel, baby Jesus, Christmas time, born in a manger. This is precious and amazing, and it's the beginning of something so cool. But as we often reflect on, this isn't the most amazing, although this is really cool. God on earth with us. But it's the cross. The one who was perfect, spotless, sinless, walked through the storm. And in the midst of that, he gave his life as a sacrifice for all mankind so that we could have him with us. Whew. How amazing. How special. Now, we're not alone in the storms, but we have him with us. We have him with us. Would you stand? Ah, this is good. This is so good. I'm excited for next Sunday because, man, we're finally going to hit the Christmas story. We're going to get in a little bit more to Emmanuel. But in this moment, let's just thank God that he is with us in the valleys. He is with us on the mountaintops. He is with us in the wilderness. And praise God, he is with us in the storms. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we can rely and rest and know and be confident in your word. The truth of your word, that you are there, that you don't go away in conflict, that you don't disappear in the hardship, but that you give us the strength to endure, that you help us to press on, that you encourage us when, at the moment when we feel like all hope is lost, that still small voice begins to speak out. So Lord, I pray for those in here today that are in the midst of their storms. Lord, would you bring them comfort? Would you speak to their hearts today? In a tangible way, would they know that you are near? And Lord, I pray that as we have gone through storms and we have grown stronger because of them, Lord, I thank you for helping us get through them. Lord, would you point us in the direction of those that are in those storms right now? Help us to know those people and help us to speak into their lives, to encourage them and to help them find the hope of you in the midst of what's going on. God, you are always good. Your love is real. And today, Lord, as we are going through December of the chaos and all of that stuff, of Christmas parties and gifts and finances and all of the things that are in this, may we come back to a place of rest because you are the Prince of Peace. And that peace isn't found in the absence of a storm, but peace, your peace, is found because your presence is there. You are good. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Continue to speak to our hearts this week. Give us opportunity to love on others, to influence others for your kingdom. We give you all glory and honor today. In your name, amen.